Well, by now I'm assuming that most of us have our Christmas decorations in order in our homes, correct? Is that right? If not, you've got a busy night ahead of you. Have you ever seen some peculiar Christmas decorations? People do some things that are kind of strange. Everybody seen some strange things over the years? In my hometown in Pickwell, Ohio, one year when we were celebrating Christmas, there was a person in our town who celebrated Christmas by hanging their Christmas tree from their ceiling. Literally from the ceiling. I'm not sure how he did it. I don't know if he bolted the stand to the ceiling and then he got up there somehow and ran a bolt through the trunk of the tree and hung it there. I'm not sure what he did, but he had people driving by his front window all the time trying to see this Christmas tree that was literally hanging from the ceiling. He even made the front page of the Pickwell Daily Call, the newspaper. I don't know why he did it. Maybe he was trying to get some attention. He certainly got that because everyone was going by his house. Or maybe he was trying to make some sort of theological or philosophical statement. Or maybe he was just doing something out of a mysterious motive. He hung the tree from his ceiling the year after that as well. Made the front page of the paper again. And then the year after that, he brought it out from the side of the wall and made the front page of the paper again. And I understand putting it back on his ceiling. If you got some good holes up there, you might as well keep putting it there. But that's what he did. And, you know, the headline of the paper, you know, it should have read this. It should have said, "Odd Fellow Celebrates Christmas Upside Down." That's what I think it should have said. Yet, friends, you know, when we think about this, we think about what it was this guy did by hanging his tree upside down on the ceiling. Maybe, just maybe, he was on to something. Maybe he was on to something about Christmas. Because, you know, that first Christmas, when you think it through, it was pretty upside down. It was pretty crazy the way that things happened. God picks a teenage unmarried girl and tells her that she's going to give birth to his son, the Son of God. Friends, that's pretty upside down. That barely would fly today, a teenage girl being found out of wedlock with a child. And yet to fly in the time and in the culture in which Jesus was born, that's pretty upside down. And then there's the whole way that Jesus was born, even back to the census that was called to, that Jesus and Mary had to go back to Bethlehem. Let's just throw a pregnant teenager on a donkey and send him over a couple days' journey across the desert with an inexperienced husband to guide her. The Bible actually doesn't even tell us whether she was on a donkey. She could have been in a donkey cart. She could have traveled by foot, but nonetheless, that's pretty upside down, isn't it? But it gets even more mysterious. They traveled to Bethlehem because Caesar Augustus declared a census needed to be taken. So Joseph and Mary, they make this journey back to Joseph's hometown, but they get there. Think through this scenario with me for a minute. They go to Joseph's own hometown, and when they get there, there's no place for them to stay. Where was his family? This is his hometown. Where are his friends? They're in a town where people should know him. Why was there not a place for them to stay? Could the lack of a place to stay have something to do with the stigma that could have been upon this pregnancy? It wouldn't be too difficult for people to understand, for people to find out that Joseph wasn't really the father. Friends, that's upside down. It's upside down. Why would God choose to come into the world in that fashion and in that way? Shouldn't Jesus have been born of a princess or of a queen? I mean, he's royalty, isn't he? He's God. He's the king of the world. Shouldn't that be how he came? But no, he didn't. It's just plumb upside down. Then there's the simple fact that the Son of God was born in probably this cave-like stable among animals and animal odors and the other things that come with animals and animal odors. Just moments before the Christ child was laid in that manger, friends, there were animals eating out of that manger. I mean, you know what a manger is, don't you? It's a feeding trough. It's not a cute little cradle with hay sticking out of the sides. The moment they pulled the baby from the cradle, the animals would begin to eat out of it again. That's upside down. God born into a feeding trough. Where's the silk blankie? Where's the purple and gold gown for a king? Where is it? Jesus had none of this. He had straw and strips of cloth, nothing fancy, nothing elaborate, nothing elegant, not even really anything noticeable. Friends, how can a king be so common? It's upside down. Then there's the audience that was there. God's son. Get this. God's son is just born into the world. Where are the teams of doctors that are attending the baby and his mother? Where are the scientists marveling in the creator of all the universe now coming in such a small package? Where are they? How would science ever explain something like this? Where are the religious leaders who'd been waiting for Messiah and waiting for Messiah and waiting for Messiah, and now he comes and they're not there? Where are the politicians? Shouldn't there have been some sort of dignitary banquet planned for this, some sort of great meal and celebration? I mean, for crying out loud, if this happened today and the president wasn't there for it, they'd be lighting up on CNN, Fox, and MSNBC, wouldn't it? Where was he? Why wasn't he there? Friends, none of these kinds of people were present. How much more upside down can the first Christmas get? When God orchestrated this night, the coming of his son, he didn't send doctors. He didn't send scientists. He didn't send religious leaders. He didn't send politicians. Who did he send? He sent some common, stinky, and I do mean stinky, dirty shepherds. That's all he sent. And in that day, it didn't get much more common than the job of the shepherd. It was one of the lowest jobs on the totem pole. Look, all I'm saying is, wouldn't it have made more sense if God would have come in some sort of big splash? Wouldn't that be what you would expect? I mean, that's how we celebrate the birth, isn't it? A big splash, flashy lights, shiny paper, bows, glossy ornaments, glittery trees, all those kind of things. I've seen some houses that are so lit up they could be on the Las Vegas Strip, you know? They're pretty impressive. Not to mention all the presents. That's how we celebrate Christmas, isn't it? That's what we do. Where were the gifts on this first Christmas? Why didn't Jesus come into the world like that? Wouldn't he have made a bigger impact? Friends, I'll tell you why Jesus didn't come into the world in a big splash. Jesus didn't come into the world in a splash because his objective was not to come into the world just to turn the world upside down in an upside down fashion, but it was to come into the world to turn the world upside down. Jesus wasn't showy because he wasn't putting on a show. He wasn't putting on a performance. This was not the Michael Bublé Christmas special. This wasn't Jesus Christ is coming to town kids special. That's not what it was. Coming to the world fast and furious may have presented a great show, but it wouldn't have made the personal impact that Jesus wanted to make on this world. Jesus came in a low and a humble way with common people because he wanted to reach people, not astound them. He didn't come to hype them up. He came to bring them to a humble place before him. The simple fact is that Jesus couldn't have come in a way to have a greater impact than he did coming in this upside-down fashion in which he did. God chose a virgin teenager, a willing carpenter stepfather, a manger, and some common stinky shepherds because his way is through humility. God humbled himself enough to become man. The creator took the role of creation. He lowered himself to a place of a human being so that he'd experience all that human beings experience yet remain without sin. Maybe there were shepherds at his birth because he came as a lamb to be slaughtered. Who else knows better how to care for the birth of lambs but a shepherd? Friends, Jesus turned the world upside down because through his being born, living, and dying, and rising from the dead, he's made a way for an eternal destination to turn us upside down from hell to heaven. He's made a way to turn our lives upside down even as we live here on this earth day to day. He's made a way to turn them from self to selfless, from lavish to loving, from getting to giving, from hopeless to hopeful, from floundering to fullness. This is why for the past few weeks here at Old Fort Church, we've been talking about doing Christmas different. We've been talking about how we can be the gift this year and not just give gifts. The truth is that we've gotten celebrating Christmas upside down. That's what the truth is. We've made it all about what presents we're going to give to everyone. Well, I got news for you, and maybe you've heard this before, but it's not your birthday. And it's not my birthday. It was Jesus' birthday. And yet we give the presents to one another. We've talked these past few weeks about how we can be the gift to our marriage and how we can be the gift to our family and be the gift to our community. But the real question we need to be asking this Christmas is, how can we be the gift to the Savior? Because it's His birthday. It's His birthday. Do you know how we do that, friends? We do that like the little drummer boy did in that beautiful classic story. No, there was no real drummer boy there on Christmas night. I'm not sure where that story has come from, but it's a fun story, but it does make a really important point for us. It brings us to a beautiful point. The gift that Jesus desires from you and me isn't the lights, bows, and trees. It's not even the frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Jesus desires that you and I bring ourselves to Him. That's our gift. The little drummer boy had no gift to bring, so he brought his best talent, he brought his best passion, and he brought all of himself. The gift that God is to us at Christmas is Himself. That's what it's all about. He was born, He lived, and He died. He rose again for you and for me. And the only real way to celebrate Christmas is to give ourselves back to Him in return. That's the only real way to celebrate. My question for you this Christmas Eve is, has Jesus turned your destination upside down? Has He? Have you received His gift for you, which is a living, walking, breathing relationship with the God of all the universe and eternal life? Have you received that? It's the opportunity to have all your faults, all your failures, all your misgivings, all your sins forgiven, and to ask Him into your heart to lead you. If not, what are you waiting for? What's keeping you from receiving the gift that He brought to you on Christmas? He wants to turn your life, your Christmas, upside down because, friends, that's the gift of Christmas. God turned everything upside down just for you. He wants you to know Him. And if you don't and aren't sure if you do, then why leave this place tonight not knowing? You can receive the gift of Jesus. My second question is for those who know. They know they've received this gift for themselves. Have you allowed that gift to actually turn your life upside down? Are you allowing Jesus to change your life? Have you made a decision to take that gift of the Savior and actually surrender all of your life to Him, all your best talents, all your best passions, all of yourself? If not, friends, what's holding you back? What's holding you back? What is it that's holding you from your old life that now it's time for you finally to let go of? Surrender yourself to Him tonight. Let your life be the gift to the Savior this Christmas. And let Him make this Christmas an upside down Christmas for you. I want to lead us in a prayer. And I want to lead us in two ways. If you feel like, you know what, I've been all about the hype of the Christmas, but not about the Savior, And I'm really not sure whether he's ever turned my life upside down. I'm not sure whether I've ever invited him into my heart in any way, shape, or fashion, or asked him to forgive me of anything I've done. And I feel that there's a separation, some sort of distance. And if you want to make some sort of invitation of him into your heart today, that's the first way I want to pray. The second thing I'm going to pray is for those of us who know Jesus, but we realize that we're not letting him have any real control of our lives. He's not really turned our lives upside down. We've accepted him, but we just keep going living the exact same way. That's the second prayer I want to pray for us. Let's join praying tonight. God, first we come to you thanking you for Jesus and what he came to do for us. He literally turned our world upside down. He split time. He split time from B.C. to A.D. He changed this world, the direction of this world forever. But it's not just a world thing. It's a very personal thing. And God, I just pray right now for anyone who needs to really ask Jesus into their heart tonight. Their gift to you, Jesus, to tonight is to give themselves. And perhaps they know that they're just really far from you right now. And if they had to stand before you someday right now, they would be really curious to know what happened because they haven't walked with you. Perhaps there are things in their lives that are tearing them apart right now. They're making them feel that they're not full, that things are kind of hopeless. And perhaps they're ready for something more. Your invitation to them right now is to invite you in to turn their lives upside down. And in simple words of prayer like, Jesus, forgive me for all my misgivings. Forgive me for all my sins. Tonight I embrace the gift of Christmas. Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart and life. Turn my life upside down. Lead me toward heaven and lead my life on this earth. And God, for those who know that you're in their life, but they're just struggling in the muck right now, they've not really surrendered. I pray this is the Christmas that turns them upside down. And that they just would say some sort of prayer to you, Jesus, pull me out, turn me upside down, I fully surrender tonight. I want to follow you forward from this day. That's my gift to you this Christmas. I bring to you myself. Jesus, thank you for this beautiful night, and we love you praying these things in the name of you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're about to move into a beautiful tradition of Christmas in this church, which is sharing the Lord's Supper together, sharing communion. And I just want to share with you don't have to be a member of this church or any church to have communion in this place. If you desire to know and follow Jesus, then we invite you to do that. What will happen is you'll come forward and where will the servers be at? On the signs. You'll come and take a piece of bread. Tear off a nice piece of bread, not just a little tiny piece so you don't stick your fingers in the juice, but take a piece of bread and dip that into the cup and receive it. And then as you pass by, you can take a candle and return to your pews, and we'll do silent night by candlelight. If you just really don't feel like you want to take communion but you want to participate with the candle, just come through and grab a candle as well and join us back in the seats as we prepare for that. Jesus came as a baby, but he didn't stay a baby. He grew to be a man. A man who allowed his body to be broken on the cross. Because the whole reason he came was that we could have a relationship with him. The whole reason he came was not just to be a baby. If he only came and lived, we'd be celebrating nothing. The thing that makes his life extraordinary is that he died and he rose again. And every time we take the bread and we take the cup and eat and drink, we remember his body broken for us, his blood shed for us, and the fullness of a relationship we now have with him because of that. I invite you forward to come and receive the bread and the cup. I just had an image laying the bread down that I thought I should share. We think of a precious baby laying in a manger, but later his life become broken and torn apart, just so we could know him, just so we could walk with God. Broken and torn, beaten and bruised, died and risen for you and for me. Scripture also tells us that Jesus was the light of the world, and that we become the light of the world with him within us. So we take the light from the candle that represents Christ burning in this world, from the Christ candle. And just like it was meant to be received, we pass it on to one another that we can receive it. So I'll come to each end of the aisle. If you would turn your candle to the one before you and take the flame, and then pass to the neighbor the same way. If you hold it and let them tip their candle to you.
As we're lighting those, let's sing together.
That you look around the room. One of the most beautiful parts from my perspective is I get to look out at you and see the light. Look at the light that shines around you. Friends, how do you turn a world upside down? You pass the light on one candle at a time. The light that's been born in you, take it out to others. I hate to even say to blow them out. I just want to keep looking at it for a while. Merry Christmas.